Okay, are we gonna sync sound? We're gonna clap at the same time?
Yes, yeah. We're gonna do syncing sound. 3, 2, 1.
What?
On point.
Simeon's off.
That's perfect. I'm not gonna have trouble syncing that at all. Okay, ready?
Welcome to Red Pill, Blue Pill, an open discussion podcast about all things film. We're your hosts, Kat
and Fid.
Welcome back, guys, after 4 months. I know it's been a while, and COVID-19 has basically made it impossible for a lot of us to keep working on the film industry. But we have some great news today. We have our very first special guest. He's a good friend of ours. So I'm going to let Kat do his intro, and then I'll plug all of his social media.
So Simeon Ruiz P. Narcisse, like Fair said, he's a good friend of ours, a filmmaker. He's also done some video game work. You know, he's originally from Fort Lauderdale, but, you know, he's been around. He has connections to Atlanta and so forth. And we're so happy to have him here because, like we mentioned before, he was our inspiration for wanting to start our own podcast. And it's coming full circle. Like I said, life's a circle.
He was in our intro, now he's in our podcast. So please follow him on all of his social media. He has his own podcast with film reviews called Backyard Critic Podcast. It's on everything, so go check that out. He also has a gaming channel on YouTube called Poor Man Games. And he is also the owner of a production and content creation company called We Be People Productions. And they have a website, so go to webepeopleproductions.com to get more information. And with that intro complete, Simeon, welcome to Red Pill, Blue Pill.
Hello? Oh, you guys there? Hello? Oh, so thank you. That was very beautiful. And wow, I didn't know I was the inspiration behind a podcast. Wow, that's awesome.
It's good to have you, Sim, finally.
Well, thank you.
So this episode's going to be a little bit more serious. A lot of stuff's been going on in these 4 months. And so we wanted to bring Sim on for multiple reasons that we'll go as we discuss today's topics. Fair, you want to address the first topic?
Absolutely. I think part of the reason why this podcast actually got started up again also is because of coronavirus, of COVID-19, which I feel like everybody's gotten sick, no pun intended, of listening about the issue. But it has really, I feel like, revolutionized the way that the film industry has decided to not only make content, but also distribute it. So we thought it might be an interesting starting point for today's conversation regarding kind of how this whole movement to online learning, online teaching, and online content creation is going to change the way that we as industry members will continue with our jobs. So, I mean, the first thing that freaked me out was the whole trolls thing. I don't know if you guys heard about it being released online. That it might seem something like silly, but it's one of those things that you're like, wait, an entire corporation is releasing now and streaming online and it's not really worrying about the theatrical releases. That's something unheard of, I think, before COVID-19.
No, yeah. When I saw that news article, I was absolutely floored. You know, not to discredit like the creators behind Trolls or this, that, and the other, but you know, it's going to be one of those movies that are going to be listed, you know, as an important film in film history for sure, you know, for being the first to take that step.
Trolls. Historic. Trolls. Wow, that's what we think.
Historic,
so,
yeah.
I really believe like we're entering a new age for films because of the pandemic now.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like the bad thing is that now for indie filmmakers, it's going to be even harder than how it was before, even though it's really hard to make films because like studios, they're not going to really invest in films like that. We're definitely going to see a lot more probably superhero films or things that are easy to make and not a big risk.
Right.
So that sucks.
So you think like event films are going to be even more the norm?
Yeah, I definitely believe that.
Aww.
I mean, also with just like, I think just making indie films in general is just going to be negatively affected by everything because like it's going to be harder to fund things. And then we're going to have like all these protocols in place with, you know, COVID-19. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I guess you got to be hopeful.
I mean, in that sense, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. But at the same time, I mean, in the funding aspect, I think it might be more difficult. Mm-hmm. But also in the kind of individual content creation, like kind of what you do, Sim, with the whole YouTube channel and everything, I feel like it's going to be a little bit easier now for content creators to legitimize their online content. Because everybody's kind of moved their, for example, like we saw kind of a surge of online learning and online teaching in terms of, you know, oh, how to edit, how to be a good cinematographer. And we have these giant corporations like BSC also did their live streams and their kind of one-on-one advice sessions, which I think might be really interesting, not only is for us filmmakers to kind of learn from like the big fish, but also to try to make content and put it up online and people actually selling it. Because I feel like the whole online thing was always secondhand to in-person, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But now with this COVID-19 thing, you see people putting out their courses and all of this, and people are actually purchasing them, one, because they don't have a choice, but two, because they find value in it. And I think that might actually really be, you know, positive for us, especially in the media creation section.
Yeah.
I just dropped my pen.
That's so true. It makes us have more of like independent thinking when it comes to filmmaking,
right?
And we have to like really be go-getters now.
Yeah.
Even more so, right? Like you gotta make your own look.
Exactly. Know? Exactly.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that, Fair, because I think later on we also want to do like a film school versus no film school type of episode.
Right.
So is that going to change even further, you know, that mentality, like, oh, you don't need to go to film school to be a filmmaker? I didn't think about that now that you're talking about those online classes.
And that kind of leads us more into a more serious aspect of this whole COVID-19, which is the fact that a lot of people in the industry, especially our industry, have lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And our industry itself is not stable anyways. So this is just a little bit of a more difficult stage for everyone.
I think editors are doing okay.
Yeah, we're fine, but
I think everyone, definitely like production people, are taking a huge hit.
Yeah,
because it's just so hard.
I mean, that's why they ask you know, the banks to bail them out, the movie industry, because the movie industry is like a $1 billion, you know, it's a big money booster for the economy.
Yeah,
so getting hit like this is really hard. But I know they're trying to come up with ways for like unions to work out better during all of this. Don't fact check me on that, but
no, for sure. Actually, there's one. I find every second I can to plug in my Mexicans. Mm-hmm. But actually, the whole, like, you know, the big four, Del Toro, Cuarón, Iñárritu, all of these people, they kind of started a fund, I think, 2 days ago called the Sinóforo Mexicano, which is just a really fancy term, but it's the relief fund for people in the film industry that have lost their jobs or that are not getting any income right now.
Yeah.
So things like that, I find not only impressive in terms of like the scope of, you know, getting people connected, but the humanity behind that.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I'm really curious. Like, I wonder what will happen now with like people being PAs on films. You know, that change, like it become even more harder than what it is now because of all of that. Because like below the line is gonna hit really hard by this compared to above the line.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. It's all up in the air right now. I feel like that's how everyone feels, you know? Like I know they're just now starting to get approval to start back up filming stuff in LA. And already people are like they have to wear like hazmat suits. I don't know. I saw like a post on Instagram of like a cinematographer wearing a hazmat suit while he was filming.
That's crazy.
But I do know there was this company, I forgot what the name was, but they were filming one of their TV shows in Iceland during the whole entire virus. And the way they're doing it is that they have like only certain crew members can be in certain locations. So they have to wear like color-coded wristbands for like locations they're in for the shoot. And they had those to-go boxes for like lunch and dinner, you know, when they're serving food. So they have like trying to minimize everything completely so it won't spread, but like two people still got the virus, so Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't doubt it. Yeah. The Florida like Film Association, like they recently released like their guidelines, and it's a huge document, and it's like, you have to wipe down equipment, you have to wipe down lighting, you have to, you know, try to just minimize the number of people on set. And that's definitely just going to slow down everything. You know, filmmaking is already slow. So to slow it down even further is crazy, you know?
Exactly. And we're also starting to see, I mean, due to COVID and then other, you know, world issues that have been going on, we're starting to see a shift, I think, in representation as well, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, no, because I wanted, like, one thing that I have on the top of my head based on that, kind of why I brought it up, was this whole Netflix thing. When you go onto Netflix, you can't just access the normal, you know, setup with the carousel. You have, like, this whole announcement promoting Black films. And to me, that's something that I feel like is not only important for the current, you know, current situation, but in terms of how companies that are that big are using their platforms to kind of use it for something other than just, you know, providing entertainment, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, not only that, Instagram, all social media is promoting it too. It's really, I think it's very revolutionary. Like, as a Black filmmaker myself, I think it's good to see this happen, you know? But at the same time, I'm not sure if they're trying to exploit it, if that makes sense.
What do you mean?
Like, they're promoting a lot of films that are made by African-Americans now. Like, for example, Just Mercy came out last year, and it was kind of, like, slept on.
Yeah.
Right? But now I saw they're promoting it now. It was on, I think it was Amazon Prime or something. I guess it's a good thing that they're putting it to the forefront. But at the same time, I'm just not, like, 100%, like, certain. Is it marketing or, you know, all that stuff? You see what I mean?
No, yeah, I agree with you. Like, Marvel Studio, I think, is a great example to talk about when you're talking, like, performative, you know, representation or activism. Like, their CEO is a very large donor to, like, the Trump administration. Like, regardless of politics, you know, we know who lies where. And, you know, but then they have, you know, these huge movies. Every movie they make is going to make them millions and millions of dollars, and they're like, oh, we stand with the Black Lives Matter movement and this and that, but your CEO is supporting a man who has made it very clear that he does not care about this movement whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
So I see where you're coming from with that.
No, just like, I'm just not sure if their Blaxploitation is like the term, you know, being used right now for some of the content out there. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. But at the same time, I'm still a little bit worried about that. You know, if people are actually doing it for the best interests of the state of the Black culture, if that makes sense.
So, Samin, like you were saying, I think that definitely goes a lot for, like, what the Academy has been posting.
Which personally, exactly,
I think is a kind of a joke.
What do you mean?
In all seriousness,
okay, I'm not alone with that.
Like, one of their new, like, protocols is like, oh, we're gonna have 10 films every year, we're gonna nominate 10 films for best picture. Like, that's great and all, but, like, what does it matter if all these films are still gonna be white films? What is it, who cares?
No, and not even that, I feel like, just, I don't know, it doesn't really do anything if you think about it, because if they're gonna nominate at least 10, right, they have to fill out those slots. So is it, did you nominate them because you thought they were good, because they actually, you know, it's something that is worthy of that recognition, or are you just doing it because you need to fill up those 10 slots, right?
Exactly. And then also, like, all right, 2 years ago they had this whole entire thing with Oscar So White.
Yeah,
right.
Yes
How come they do it back then? Why are they doing it right now at this specific time? You see what I mean? That goes back to what I was saying. Now they mention this stuff. So, I don't know. Me, personally, I really don't care about the Academy Awards anymore.
Yeah, same.
because, like, isn't representation right there? It's not showing. And now they're trying to be more progressive. I just feel like with Hollywood, they're just so far behind compared to everyone else.
Oh, for sure.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, the Oscars were never honestly representative of, like, high quality content. You can make arguments for a bunch of films that got awards that you can see what they competed against, and you're like, okay, there's either clearly a conflict of interest here, or whoever made the decision didn't watch all the other movies, if that makes any sense. So, I mean, just the fact that, we're going to talk about this later, but the fact that Bong Joon-ho didn't win Best Editing with Parasite, to me, was a ripoff.
Mm.
But, you know, so it's those award shows, and even the people, or like the body of the judges, like the people that make up those judging panels,
mm-hmm.
if they're not diverse themselves, how are they going to be able to judge diverse films, right?
That's true.
Of course.
100%. Even the board, you know, the Academy itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Personally, I feel like Hollywood has a lot of catching up to do. Even like, you know, not to discredit her at all, because, you know, she has her reasons and stuff like that. But people like Natalie Portman, who, you know, she's put in a good fight to promote female filmmakers. And yet, you know, the year that Guillermo del Toro won freaking Best Director, Best Picture, whether you agree with it or not, she wants to slight him and make a sideways comment where, you know, this is a Mexican man winning an Oscar.
mm-hmm.
You know, something to be celebrated, you know, like just because one fight doesn't have to cover the other fight.
Exactly. We're not at odds with each other when it comes to like diversity or representation in that sense. And even her particularly has gotten backlash from the fact that she has her own production company, and none of the filmmakers, like directors in her company, have been female other than herself. So it's kind of like what are you really fighting for here? Are you doing it for attention? Are you doing it just to be part of like the trend? Or do you actually want to see a change, right?
Exactly.
But I don't know. I feel like it's a work in progress, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think there ever will be a change? Like, will be a point where like, wow, look at the Oscars now. You know, so diverse. Will it ever be like that? I'm not sure. Because you can say the same thing with the Grammys, you know, stuff like that. The other different festivals, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's too early to tell. Like, people have been saying this for years and years and, you know.
Yeah.
I'd rather them just tell me straight up, we don't care, and move on.
No, but even like the Oscars themselves at this point, like you said, it's not, we don't really care about them as much, but you see kind of a surge of festivals themselves being brought up in different countries and in different, you know, communities that have starting to gain recognition, right? You see Mexico a little bit, you see Argentina lately has also been starting to, you know, really come up with quality content. And it's like, well, maybe we don't necessarily need to see a change in the large conglomerates right now. Maybe we just have to, you know, open the space and democratize almost film for everybody. So it might be an interesting, I don't know, an interesting thing to see in the future, especially with technology and also making it easy for people to make high quality films. To see if that kind of as a whole starts being, you know, more diverse, just because from the sources and from the quality that these films are coming from is not just, you know, LA or New York or, you know, the typical ones.
Well, I know, like, at the end of the day, they're trying to make money, right?
Right.
Do you guys agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
I feel like it's like, it's just it's a big marketing thing. I mean, essentially, sometimes for some people, that's why they want to win in an Academy Award or get nominated, so you get that, you know, ticket and price. You know, it gives you more credibility, I guess. But I don't know. It's all intertwined with each other.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. So it's hard.
I feel like this situation, though, kind of pushed it a little bit. Maybe for the better, maybe for the worse, but it did kind of, you know, shake the base a little. And if not, at least we realize where we're at. Which is something that I don't think we even knew.
Right. Honestly, I really believe it was when Moonlight won Best Picture, but they had that entire flub happen. It really had to put the Academy on the map about like, okay, we should probably do more.
Right.
Right. That's what I feel like was really like the spark. Not the Oscar so white, but when that happened.
Yeah.
Clearly there's been some progress, but you never know.
Yeah, that's what the Academy says. They're saying that because they made the boards more diverse, that a movie like Parasite can win Best Picture.
Right.
So,
like, I was so proud, and I was honestly shook. I thought that would never happen. Like, they would never give it to someone that's not only not an English-speaking film, right, but an Asian film with, you know, the whole presidency and everything going against Asia as a whole. To me, it was a huge shift as well. So
maybe it is working.
That's I don't know. That's debatable. We'll see. I think they need, no, honestly, like, how they need to actually start promoting Black films, you know, within the industry, actually making Black films, Hispanic films, Asian
just
films.
More diverse films in general. Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll be able to actually see them at the awards, getting the recognition that they deserve. Right. I think it starts there.
Yeah. Okay. I think time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. But then you wonder why these films are so good that come from diverse people, you know, different backgrounds, because it's actually not the same stories being told, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That too.
Yeah. No, I really love what's going on right now. Like, people are really caring, especially millennials, you know? The younger generations are, like, getting together.
Yeah.
And really going for it and protesting and all that. It's very inspiring to see. And Dave Chappelle released a special the other day, and he was talking about all of this.
Oh, yeah, the Dave Chappelle.
And it made me, it made me think about things to another level. Like, you know, we're all in this together. It's not just a Black issue. It's, like, an issue for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to end this right now. Honestly, Simeon, you basically, you gave it the perfect ending.
Yeah. No, much love, you guys. This has been a great podcast for sure. And hopefully I can come back again. Hopefully I'm not that bad.
Thank you, Sim. And like we said, find Simeon at We Be People Productions, Poor Man Games. And as well, you can find Red Pill, Blue Pill at RPVP Podcast on Instagram and SoundCloud. And we'll hope to catch you guys on the next episode.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. Are your Chipotle, please sponsor us before someone else does. Voiced by your hosts, Catherine Mairena and Fernanda Lamuño. Special guest appearance by Simeon Reese P. Narcisse. Original music by Alec Dreith and Sadine Dasu. Graphic design by Natalie Mairena. Copyright 2020 RPVP Podcast.